Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. I got a couple of main topics we're going to discuss today. One of them, obviously, is the ongoing saga of Mar-a-Lago. Trump did take the fifth, and what basically the Democrats said in response to that, well, if he was guilty, unless he was guilty, why would he take the fifth? That's the most stupid question I've ever heard in my life. Then we're going to talk a little bit about some of the primary results. Let's start out with the Donald, though, if you don't mind, Jimmy. Go ahead and take it away, bud.
Yeah, so, you know, two separate issues. One was the FBI raiding his home on allegations, basically, that on a warrant that they apparently, according to the latest reporting, held 10 feet away from his lawyers and said, here, this is, we've got the warrant. And then they basically pushed through and forced their lawyers to stand outside in the near 100-degree heat while they went through all the rooms in Mar-a-Lago, went through Melania's wardrobe, went through a safe, and according to Newsweek, the latest reporting, they actually had somebody on the inside of Mar-a-Lago that was giving information about the safe to the FBI, which once again means that they were spying on the former president. And, yeah. You know, this is getting, it's almost, I mean, beyond surreal at this point. This is something that you could not have written a story about, put a movie together, and anybody would ever thought it was anything but a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I have to believe that that they are so desperate that the Biden regime, Merrick Garland, and the left progressives are so desperate that they're going to use every possible tool they can to change the narrative and change the dynamic before this November election.
Well, of course they are, but pardon me, the question is, are they going to succeed, in your opinion?
So I think that, you know, there are people that are continually supporting these kind of false lies that the White House has put out, and that, you know, and obviously the corporate media and, you know, in my view, the globalist agenda, they have a lot of influence through the tech companies, through the media outlets that are actually the representatives for the big global corporations. And I think they're going to have some success in convincing people that, you know, Trump was breaking the law, and that if he pleads the fifth, and, oh, by the way, that was a separate issue. That was Letitia James, the New York attorney general, that has a civil case against the Trump corporation. And she had him go and testify after he lost in court, saying, hey, look, there's no reason for him to do it. But in the deposition in that fraudulent investigation, well, I say fraudulent because there's very little evidence of any wrongdoing there. It's just a kind of fishing hunt to try to keep the narrative up against Trump. But in New York, he basically walked in and said, look, I don't trust anything. I don't trust any of you. And so he pleaded the fifth, and he says, my lawyer's telling me to. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not, you know, guilty of anything, but I don't trust any of the system here.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, that's absolutely the only way that anybody can go right now against the Department of Justice and the FBI are losing all credibility. Americans are not going to cooperate if they fear they're going to be entrapped. And that is specifically conservatives right now, which really undermines any confidence in the justice system. And the only way that the DOJ and the FBI can continue this operation is if they get more aggressive and more violent in their efforts to politicize our legal system.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, our legal system is getting incredibly politicized right now, and that's really hurting the country, in my opinion. As I heard on the news last night, you know, we're getting beaten down and just turning out to be one of these third-rate countries where this is a big problem constantly in law enforcement. I really, really feel sorry for for Donald Trump for having to have gone through this. But I really think the battle is right ahead of us, Jimmy. I really do. We're going to talk about the results of the primaries of yesterday earlier, and we're going to talk about what that has done to the support of Trump. Let's roll into that right now. It looks like Trump is getting more and more and more support.
Well, he massive fundraising yesterday after this absolute unbelievably politicized. I mean, this is far worse than the Nixon Republican Party folks breaking in to the Democratic offices in Watergate. This is actually using the law enforcement in order to get a propaganda campaign against a former president and potential candidate against the sitting president right now, the false sitting president, in my view. But here's what's happening, and this is where you have to have a little bit of optimism. There is a large number of Republicans that are, you know, kind of the moderate. They don't want to make waves. They're used to the way the system works. And these are the Lindsey Grahams, the Mitch McConnells, the Kevin McCarthy. And they think they know better because of the politics. And they're also very weak Republicans because they never push back. They actually want to work together with their partners because they, for some reason, they believe that the Democrats still want to do that. Those types of Republicans right now are being crushed in the primaries around the country. So Trump stands, according to NBC News, he's at about 180 endorsements that have won, that he has given, that have won their primary races.
Out of how many, Jimmy? Jimmy, how many losses?
14.
Whoa.
Yeah, 180 to 14. And there's, the, you know, some of these numbers, I mean, that's a generalization. I think the NBC News is reporting 188 candidates backed by the president of one primaries. 14 have lost. That is absolutely unprecedented in American political history. And, oh, by the way, Mike Pence and, you know, the kind of rhino Republicans,
right,
their endorsements, they're being crushed. They're losing across the board. And some of these races, so Joe Kent in Washington in the 3rd Congressional District, he was going against Jamie Herrera Butler. Jamie Herrera Butler was the Republican in the 3rd District in Cowlitz County, you know, I mean, super conservative area that voted to impeach Trump. So Joe Kent, former special operations operator, and I mean not just a special operations operator, but a special operations operator. He did things, and I know what he did, that people will never know. And his wife in the same community was killed in Syria in 2018, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
This guy stood up because of his belief in this nation, and he went against Jamie Herrera Butler. And you know what? Rhino conservatives and PACs supported by Kevin McCarthy, the House leader, actually funded opposition candidates that would come in to try to pull away some of his votes so they wouldn't beat Herrera Butler, so they could keep her in because they believe somehow that's a better thing to have a Rhino Republican win than have a new breed. But the reality is the Republican Party is changing its face. It's becoming the party of the working class. It's becoming the party of the minorities, especially the Hispanic community. It's becoming the party of those that believe in our Constitution, and that is absolutely crushing those the long-term institutional uniparty, as many people call it, inside Washington. So that, in the long term, it's completely changing the face of politics in America. And you can thank the ideals and the organization, the structure that Donald Trump put together. Whether you like him or not is irrelevant. What that has done is awaken so many people and given them a direction that says, look, we're gonna push back against open borders. We're going to push back about excessive spending, though Trump is, you know, he's been guilty of that as well. We're going to push back against the deep state, though he was trapped by the deep state. And what it does is it gives a whole new meaning to an outsider running in Washington. And of course, we got to be careful because eventually outsiders become insiders. But you know what? things are changing, and this primary season is proving that he still is the most dominant force in conservative politics in America.
Well, I hope that that carries through 2024. I just kind of hope that it will. Let's talk about the primary election results, Jimmy. Why don't you go over Clark County, or not Clark, I'm sorry, Whatcom County first.
Well, the couple there for Whatcom County, I mean, I'll just be real brief because I don't remember all of them, and some of the kids, because of the long process of counting mail-in ballots in Washington
right.
State, some of these things have changed. Joe Kent was predicted to lose the day after the first count, and then he came back and won, and Jamie Herrera Butler conceded. That's a powerful statement. In Whatcom County, Simon Sefcik won the primary for the Republican Party for the state Senate seat. He's the incumbent that filled for Doug Erickson, my friend,
right.
After he passed away. Simon's a young kid. He's 22 years old, but man, is he smart.
I introduced Simon at the Semiamu Men's Breakfast Club. Very, very well presented a young man. Yeah, he's 22, went to a school that was a university just outside of Washington, D.C., that is steeped in the Constitution, deeply steeped in the Constitution. You're going to hear a lot about Sesnick here in the future, Jim, mark my words.
Yeah, really, he's a great
really
guy.
He beat
Ben Ellenboss. Ellenboss
right.
is our county representative.
Right.
That won in our district, partly because I was involved in that campaign, getting the party together to support him, as well as, you know, he did a great job back for the county council seat. But this time around, to run, he'd actually agreed, and this is really disturbing to me, he had agreed that whichever person had won the vote by the county council to take Doug Erickson's seat, that he would support, because he was running for that in the actual appointment process. So he was trying to be appointed. He didn't get appointed. Simon got appointed. The Democrats thought, oh, okay, well, we've got this young kid. We'll let him in there. Mm-hmm. Well, Ben Ellenboss decided, okay, he's going to go back on his word, and he's going to run against Simon.
Yeah.
And I think that was just an awful character trait for someone to do something like that.
Yeah.
And I know Ben, I've known him for a while. He's, you know, I think he's a decent guy, but he did that. And it's unfortunate he did that. And then he pulled out all the stops. And oh, by the way, he distanced himself from the Republican Party. Well, this is the problem in Whatcom County. It's the problem in left coast politics.
Yeah.
People are afraid to identify themselves as conservatives because they think for some reason that that's not going to draw votes, because they're trying to get that middle ground and look like they're the good guy. What they don't realize is it doesn't work. All it does is weaken the party, and it weakens the position of people that are conservative. And the average conservative voter has no desire to step out and vote.
Yeah, no, and it's become pretty difficult over here. I was fairly involved in this election. What about Kamal? How did he do?
He did not win. I think Tasha Dykstra and Tasha, I know both Kamal well, and Tasha, both great candidates. Tasha, a former Bellingham police officer, her husband was a Whatcom County sheriff. Just a few months ago, he was shot in the face
right.
on a domestic disturbance call.
Right.
So Tasha won. Kamal, great guy. Really like Kamal, like Tasha. That was a tough one to go with. Tasha
yeah.
won it, it looks like. And I hope the best for Kamal. His family, Tammy, they're wonderful people. And again, Tasha's going through some really challenges. She's really committed to try to help the community, too.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this works.
How about Patty Murray? How'd she do?
So she really was relatively unopposed in her seat. So the interesting part about the Murray race, Murray, our state Washington state senator, she only gained less than 50% of the vote, an incumbent Democrat. The Republican split with a handful of candidates running there. Tiffany Smiley came out on top, She was a former, she worked very hard. Her husband was blinded on active duty in combat. She worked with the VA and went against the VA to try to get help and to keep her husband on active duty. So the first blind officer to continue on active duty. He will actually be next week. I'll be speaking next weekend, a week and a half away. I'll be speaking down in Skagit County with the Republican Party Lincoln-Reagan dinner. And Scott Smiley, her husband, I believe, will be there at the event as well. So Tiffany has a chance when you consolidate Republican votes. And, of course, the frustration with the administration right now is pretty high everywhere with the regime that's in power. And there's a, you know, so there's a reasonable chance that when she gets the right kind of support, she could actually turn Washington, that seat Republican from a Democrat. That's actually the third, that Patty Murray's the third in seniority, I believe, in the Senate.
Yes, she is. No question. She is, Jimmy. Jimmy, give our listeners some details here. I put this out to a list I have for residents in Semiahmoo. Give the details on your speaking engagement down in Skagit Valley.
Well, I'm going to be at the airport in the hangar. There's a hangar there.
Right.
It'll be on the 20th of August. I think the dinner kicks off at about 5 o'clock and then they'll, you know, speaking, I think it goes till about 8 o'clock. You have to log on and register with the Skagit County Republican Party. Their Lincoln Day dinner, log on to register. I don't remember the price, but there was an opportunity there for those that want to support in the region, you know, in our area, what's happening. And if you want to hear what my take on what's happening in the world and why we're in this predicament, would welcome, love to see the people from Semiahmoo.
Yeah, we'll get down there. We'll get as many people as we can. I'll get details for you when we get off the air. Anything else you want to talk about in terms of this editorial, Jimmy?
You know, I think we've been going for a long time. I think some of the hypocrisy out there is stunning to me.
Yes,
I continually hear from the right and from the left. And actually some moderate conservatives, you know, some of these rhinos saying, oh, well, let's let this play out and see what was there. And I hear the same argument. No one's above the law. Right. Well, Hunter Biden's above the law. Joe Biden's above the law.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton's above the law. James Comey's above the law. Peter Strzok's above the law. Jeffrey Epstein was above the law. Harvey Weinstein was above the law for the longest time.
Yeah.
These people are absolutely liars when they say no one's above the law. If you're inside with that inner group in D.C., there's no Republican, no Democrat. If you're an insider in there, you're above the law. If you're on the outside of it and you're fighting against it, they are going to use every tool they can to go after you. It's very clear they're doing that. And we as Americans have to say enough is enough and put them out of office.
Enough is definitely enough. We've been going almost 18 minutes. Let's cut it here. And then what I'd like to do is tomorrow I'd like to talk about the macro issue, which is definitely the elephant in the room. And that's the situation with Taiwan, Jim.
Yeah, let's talk about that because, boy, oh, boy, that's getting to be dangerous.
It is. Okay, you guys, thanks very much, Jimmy. God bless. Thank you.
You bet.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.